Welcome to the Dope Black Woman podcast, the podcast where we share stories of Black excellence as part of our safe digital sisterhood. I'm Leanne Levos.
I'm Rashan, but you can call me Shan.
I'm Livs.
On this episode, we're joined by Georgette.
Okay, so I would introduce myself as the girl who talks about sex a lot, but is obsessed with trans. Like, literally, that's how I would introduce myself. I always think it's interesting because depending on when a person follows me online, depends on the kind of content that they're going to get. So it might be like a whole lot of things about sex. It might be about plants. It might be about skating. So that's probably the best way for me to introduce myself.
So one of the things we love to ask our guests is, what makes you a dope Black woman?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the thing that makes me a dope Black woman is the fact that I will always do whatever I want to do. And that can be from something completely random. So when we could go out, there was a day where I was craving like a roast dinner, and I was talking about it all day. And I was just like, I'm going to go and get a roast dinner. I found a restaurant, I went there, I had my roast, and I was very, very happy. So I'm a proper doer. So anything I want to do, whether that is work, fun, whatever it is, I will just do it.
This is the Dope Black Women podcast.
For today, we're going to do things a bit different. So the people listening, we've all sent in, including Leanne, who's not with us right now, but we've all sent, do you know what? Sorry, pause. I hate when I say that. It's like the person's dead and she's definitely alive. But including Leanne, who's not on the podcast right now. But yeah, so we've
she couldn't make this episode.
Yeah, that's a better way of saying it. So we've all sent in like 5 to 6 questions, and then I'm using like a number generator thing online, and I'm just gonna choose random numbers based on that, and then whoever it is will answer it. So all the questions that are being asked today have been selected by one of us, so no one can judge me because I didn't put them all in. I just want to put that young disclaimer out there, but let's make it easier. Let's just go in alphabetical order. So we'll go Georgette, Liv, and then
okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you did that so you could go last. I see you, girl. I see you.
mean.
You think you're slick.
So I'll do it now. Number 9.
Nicknames
in the bedroom. Do you think they're sexy or cringeworthy?
A nickname. I think they can be sexy. Like, I don't think it's completely cringeworthy. I'm going to say sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know a question just for you, but out of interest.
Do you know what it is, though? Like, it definitely depends on the nickname. Because I tried Happy once, and I'm never going back. Like, as soon as I said it, I cringe. Like, I was like, girl, you ain't even Spanish, like.
Oh my god, like, Daddy! No, Daddy does not sound cute on my little.
I'm not gonna lie, I like Daddy. I do like Daddy.
Daddy.
I've tried that once, and it was the most cringeworthy thing I've ever done in my life. Like, I said it, and obviously doing it in like a British accent, Daddy. It's not it.
Oh,
at
Daddy.
All.
Daddy, stop doing that. Oh my god.
Yeah. So I was just like, this one is not for me. Mm-mm.
Oh god.
All right, we'll do Liv's. Number 12. What advice do you have for keeping your sex life alive during lockdown?
What advice do I have for keeping my sex life during lockdown? I mean, I'm not going to lie, I've been seeing my boyfriend, so I've been breaking them lockdown laws. But I think it's really hard. I think it's, for people that are single, I think it's quite hard to, like, because, like, you're not even allowed to be, I feel like this is going to have long-term impacts, for sure, because, you know, going up and dancing next to someone, or, like, you know, sharing a drink with someone, or whatever, all these things that used to be so normal, even kissing a stranger, I feel like, you know, it's going to completely change after Corona. But I feel like, what would be my advice? You know, there's nothing wrong with a Zoom chat, a little nude, a little sexy sexy mm-hmm. online, that kind of thing. You know, it's only cringy if you make it cringy. You know what I mean? If you go into there feeling confident and feeling like, I've got this, then it's okay. And a good internet connection.
Mate, it's interesting you say that, yeah, because, you know, I think I spoke about it before, like, I'm not a fan of, like, nudes or anything like that. I've always been like, nah, I'm not doing that. However,
lockdown, baby.
The other day, a young Zoom did come in handy, and I said, oh, is this what my age mates are doing? Yeah, I'm joining on that. And I actually thought, I got to spread the young word. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. I mean, I feel like you can make it a whole thing, you know? Like, imagine you're a cam girl, put on a different wig, like, make it a whole persona. Oh, is that you, Liz?
Virtual role play.
That's the whole script
right there.
Believe in yourself. You know what I mean? Like, embrace your inner, your alter ego, your Sasha Fierce.
I like the sound of that. I might try.
Have you tried role play before?
Have I tried role play?
Have you tried role play before?
I have. With a costume. Mm-hmm. As well.
Okay, now you have to tell us what the costume was.
Okay, so to be fair, like, it was quite basic. I was a nurse.
That that's not basic. It's still sexy.
In my head, I was like, basic. I was like, lovely kid for Valentine's.
But what I really, really, really want to do is kind of do it where I'm like, I'm in a bar and the person that I'm going to be with is there as well, and we do that kind of like
I think you like me and Renfield too.
Honestly, that is like one of my dreams, to literally do that and be like, oh, I'm in a hotel room, blah blah blah, and then they come.
I've always wanted to do that as well. Okay, I've got number 5. Mine says, let's talk nudes, yes or no, what are your limits or rules? So I just answered that sort of. So my thing before was no, but now I think on reflection, I think it does work as long as you trust the person and it's like a safe environment. So you don't, well, I guess for me, because I have anxiety, in my head I've always thought like, oh, if the person gets angry, they're going to share it, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. But actually I just call the police on you, so we can be... So yeah, I think they're fine. What are your limits or your rules? I don't think I have any limits or rules with my partner in terms of that. But I think beyond that, if I wasn't with him, then I probably wouldn't do it at all, because this is my first time.
I'm very pro. So
you're pro nudes.
Yeah.
What advice do you have then for someone like me, or someone who hasn't done anything, for like getting into that? Like, how do you get the good angles? Like, how do you allow yourself to just like get over the fear and just do it anyway?
So angles, you definitely have to play around with, just like on your phone. Sometimes I think if you lay flat and you kind of tilt the camera upside down above you, that can often be quite flattering. But you have to just proper like have a play around and take plenty for yourself, and then send the best ones. Absolutely, good lighting as well. And if you want to be like super sexy, get like almost like a red light, or just change things up. Yeah,
my girls are props.
Yeah, props.
I feel like with nudes, it's all about, as you said, it's all about trust and it's all about confidence, because sometimes you like, regardless of if it's a nude or a sexy picture, you take that one shot and you're like, this is the one. Like, I look banging. And then another day you could take like 50 pictures of yourself and you're like, nah, they're all clapped, every single one. So it really is on your mood. But guys, I feel like when it comes to nudes, they're not always particularly agile. Like, I've had situations where I'm sitting at work, okay, it's Tuesday, 3 p.m and it's like boom boom dick pic boom, like it's there. It's like, how have you not registered that this is not a good time, like, to send this? Like,
all right, next question, Georgette.
Yes.
What's a kink or fetish that you like in the bedroom that has surprised you?
Oh my god.
My girl's like, where do I begin?
I definitely put this in and I was like, I hope it doesn't come to me, because I'm I can't lie.
Okay, so
I have two.
One is feet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Doing what?
So I like having my toes like sucked.
Oh, that's fine. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah, I don't know. Course. I've never tried it. But my feet are very ticklish. So I feel like I'm never going to be able to get over it.
Yeah.
I think the orgasm of it.
I was very, very anti before because I generally don't like feet. So I was just like, oh no, don't touch my feet. And then one day, like it happened and I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, oh my gosh. Right? And then I think another one that I discovered over lockdown actually is, what's it called now? Mutual masturbation.
Yeah.
So like when
did you say mutual?
Yeah. So basically, yeah.
Please tell.
We're both like wanking without touching each other.
Oh, yeah. That is dirty. I like it. Yeah. I love it. It reminds me of do you guys watch Misfits? When like in the first season, okay, and they all have superpowers. But this one girl, they can't touch each other.
I remember
they
just that.
Masturbate and look at each other. I'm picturing. It's hot though. It sounds hot. I'm gonna have to try.
Have you done it before, Liv?
No, but you know, it's the first time for everything.
Definitely try it.
So, Liv, you're number 20. What's the number one thing you wish you knew about sex when you were younger?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh gosh. Just like everything to do with fluids and women. I feel like I was not taught that and didn't understand that. Do you know what I mean? Like the amount of times that like I'd be like, oh, what's this in my underwear? And like now I'm like, oh, okay, it's calm, it's fine. But like before,
yeah,
like it was very much a taboo growing up. You know, you don't really talk about like what it is. And, you know, sometimes you'll get wet and it's just like, where am I going with this? But it just feels like not something we talked about ever. So like when it happened, I wasn't really expecting. I thought, is this normal? Is this the right color? Is this the right consistency? Do I have an STI? Like none of that. I had any kind of like knowledge about whatsoever. I wish I knew that stuff.
I think that's interesting because I saw a post the other day. I think it's on Snapchat actually. I keep seeing an advert and it's like understanding your discharge colors and what it means. And I know for myself, like, I thought, like, I was dying at one point. I thought, like, I had an illness. No, seriously. Like, I was just like, what the hell is this stuff? And I didn't want to talk, because my mom had never spoken to me about it before. I didn't want to, like, because I didn't understand what it was, I created my own stigmas around it. So I didn't talk to anyone about it. And it wasn't until I got older and started seeing, like, infographics about it and posts about it and just learning by myself, I realized, actually, this is very normal. Like, your vagina just came out itself. But prior to that, I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I saw a post the other day, and it was this girl talking to three of her guys' mates, and they were literally, all of them did not understand what discharge was. Like, not one of these guys could tell her what it is.
Oh, I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, no, it means she's got STI in it. It means she's got herpes in it. And like, they were all, like, convinced that it's only a bad thing.
That's wild.
Yeah,
I saw that. Men are wild. I tweeted it and then I deleted it because I was like, I can't have anyone coming to me. I'm not that person on Twitter that kind of going back and forth. So I literally saw it, quote tweeted, and I said, you know what, Sean, you stay out of this one. And this came out.
But yeah,
stay out.
But if I knew all of that kind of stuff earlier, I think I'd be more confident in the bedroom as well. Do you know what I mean? Because I wouldn't be worrying about what's going on down there because I'd be like, oh no, it's perfectly normal.
I've got number 11. Was sex discussed in your family growing up and how will you use this experience for your children or younger relatives? So for me, it was discussed to a degree. Not like, oh, okay, come on, let's sit down and have a talk. It wasn't like that. It was like, oh, I had a boyfriend when I was like in secondary school and my mum, FBI, used to read my MSN chats or like take my BlackBerry and read my conversations. So just random. She didn't even have my password. Random. I'll be just on, but like on my phone in my room. She'll come in, have your phone, please, and she'll randomly check it. Like that's what she used to do. Okay. And then, so one day, she was reading some messages with me and my boyfriend at the time. Yeah, and it was some females talking the wickedest thing. nothing was going on. More than a young lip, there was nothing going on. Do you get it? But because she read that, she was just like, so then after that, she tried to make, she tried to ignite conversations around sex, but in awkward ways. So like, she had these cards and she was like, oh, Jack, do you want to play? Do you want these cards? Do you need them for anything? So she just assumed from that point forward that I was having sex, even though I wasn't. So I think for me, I never really had a discussion. It was just more like an assumption that I was doing it, which I think sometimes can be a bit awkward, but also then makes it normalized, because then when I was ready to have a conversation about it or bring anything to her, because she thought I was having it from like 6 years before I really was, that wasn't an issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it was fun. Yeah, no. Because like, it's come as a surprise to her.
No, I never had the birds and the bees chat. I never sat down and had that. But I remember, do you not remember Habbo Hotel?
No.
Oh my gosh, you know what that is?
You don't know what Habbo Hotel is? Girl, where you been? But anyway, it was one of those chat rooms that was a mix of, you know, 14-year-olds and old men. But I was obviously chatting to this guy, my little innocent self, and he was like, oh, give me a BJ. I ran out the room and exited. And then I remember asking my mom, I was like, what's a BJ? And we're sitting at the dinner table and she's choking on her food, like, and I think she realized then that, okay, my daughter's grown up, I need to have a chat with her about this, that, and the other. But it was never like, I think if you make it like a proper thing, like we're going to sit down and talk about sex, you know, you're never gonna react well, because talking to your parents about sex is awkward, man. It's always gonna be awkward. Yeah, what about you, Georgette? Did you ever have the birds and the bees chat?
We had it twice. So once was when I first started my period, but like it was very much like, oh my God, you're a woman now and you're going to be able to have babies. And I was just like, this is a lot of information for me just trying to understand why the hell there's blood coming from my vagina. So that was definitely like information overload. And then the other time was when I got completely ambushed. I was like early 20s and I'm literally sat with my mum chilling, watching TV, and out of nowhere she was like, are you having sex? And I was just like, oh God, what do I do? And we were quite open then, so I thought, you know what, I'm gonna tell her and I'm gonna build our relationship and be honest with her. And I told her, she completely freaked out. And she told my dad as well, and I was just like, oh my gosh, we can't talk about sex. And that's kind of been it, like, I guess maybe up until,
what did your dad say?
He came to me like maybe a day or two afterwards and was just like, I heard about the conversation that you had with your mum, and that was it. So I was just like, so are you mad? Are we good? Are we beefing around? It was very awkward. But then I guess outside of that, like, me and my mum have definitely talked about it a bit more openly, just because of the podcast. I don't tell her what I'm doing, but I tell her that I have open conversations with people about sex, and now she's a lot more open and understands why it is so important.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good relationship to have.
Yeah, definitely.
Out of both your dad's and your mum's reaction, who do you think was worse?
Honestly, my dad's, because I didn't know what that meant, and I think also when I was a lot younger, I was like a people pleaser. Like I wanted my parents especially to be very, very proud of me. So because like he just kind of like just dropped that and left, and it's like I would always think, is he going to come back and want to have a conversation with me? Are we good? Like I didn't know whether I could like be cool like around him. So I think that was worse, because like I just didn't know what to make of it, and it just kind of added to the thought of what I'm doing is bad, even though it's kind of normal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you've got number 8, and number 8 says, what's something non-sexual that turns you on?
What's something non-sexual that turns me on? I don't know. Let me think. Maybe food. Maybe it's what work food, like just yeah, just because it's just done so well, and that can be quite a turn on, I'm not gonna lie.
What, like wet in your knickers?
Like I won't get wet, but I'll be like, oh. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you relate to that, Liv? Does the young Akin swordfish on your plate just turn you on?
Gives you the tingles.
The way the pounded yam glistens with the steam.
Oh, not the pounded yam.
The way the juice drops off the chicken. No, do you know what?
Is that your vibe, Liv? Are you feeling it?
That's my vibe. When do you know what turns me on is when someone says, "I saw this and bought it because I thought of you."
Oh,
that's the one.
Oh, tantalizing already. No, that or, is mad.
You know, this reminds me of you, so I got it. Them lines there. Yes. Yeah. Get on the bed and undress immediately.
Okay. You've got 18. How do you think you can improve the role you play in the bedroom?
How could I improve the role I play in the bedroom? Girl, my role is everything. What are you trying to say? No, but... I think I could be more experimental. I play it quite safe, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I stick to all the traditional moves. I mean, I do my thing, but I feel like... Something I would love to try is maybe like, I would love to try costumes. I would love to try costumes and dressing up more. And like, maybe I'll start with the nurse. So, Georgette, you're going to have to give me some tips on that because that's a classic.
We just send the link.
Just send the link. Put it on my Amazon wish list. Yeah, I would like to try that kind of thing more. What about you, girl?
I think for me, I would like to try being like completely submissive more because I think sometimes like I like to control everything, like absolutely everything, so I think it would be good to just to kind of give all of that to like another person that I completely trust, obviously, and be like, okay, I will be completely submissive.
Do you think you're naturally more of a dominant character then?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I just like being in control. Yeah.
That's sexy.
Yeah. So 15 says, this is my one, do you think dating should only be done with the intention to marry? And that's quite an interesting question. Is it interesting? I feel like it differs person to person. So for lots, not every woman's end goal is to be married. So if your end goal isn't to be married, does it mean that you shouldn't date? No. But I think if you're someone who feels like you keep finding yourself in a cycle of being the same sort of men or like getting the same sort of end result and you know you want to be married, then you've got to be a bit more intentional with your dating.
Mm.
And you then got to be like asking yourself more realistic questions. Like when you're talking to this person, is this someone who I can see raising my kids if you want to have kids? Is this someone who I could, whose views and values align with mine? Do you get what I mean? So if you're on your first date, and this happened to me, so that's why I'm using this as an example. It might just sound wild, but it's a real thing. But like, if you're on your first date and the person who's serving you is of the LGBTQ community, and the person that you're on a date with responds negatively to that, and you know that doesn't align with your values, you don't need to go on a second date. You don't need to see how it's going to go. You don't need to ask them how their birthday is the next week, because you know already that your values don't align, so there's no way you're going to get married, let alone have some sort of long-lasting relationship. Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people need to become better at, because I think that, you know, a lot of us, especially where, like, the role of women has become, I wouldn't say it has changed, but it's been more flexible. A lot of us are doing our own careers and are doing our own thing. And I think with that said, we've got to be more intentional with who we're allowing to be in our space and be around us. Because I feel like I definitely had an experience of it where I was just dating for dating's sake. Like, I just wanted free food. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go. And I remember going on a date. I swear to you, I went on like 5 dates in a week. And I was like, at the end of the week, I was like, I don't care about, no, I was in my prime. I'm not now. But I remember like thinking to myself at the end of the week, like, I don't care about any of these guys. Like, why did I do that? I could have used that time in a more productive way. I could have used that time to spend time getting to know myself. I could have used that time with my friends or with my family. Do you get what I mean? So I think it's a hard question to answer, but I definitely think that if you're someone who keeps finding yourself in a cycle, then dating with intention makes more sense if marriage is the end goal.
Can I read a quote? Can I share a quote with you ladies?
Yeah.
Go on.
Falling for the potential of who someone is instead of who they actually are will cause you pain and disappointment. The sooner you let go, the faster you'll heal. Can I get an amen?
It's a big amen.
Amen.
But yeah, it's exactly what Roshan said, that you know, if you're someone that you know you want the picket fence and the two children and the dog and whatever, you can't keep beating yourself up if you're dating, you know, people who aren't into that. Yeah. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we just gotta be more honest with ourselves as well. So I feel like sometimes, yeah, girls, like, girls are funny, you know. You'll be going on dates and we'll be talking to, in fact, you know what? I've done this.
You're girls.
Yeah. You're going on dates and you're talking to guys and you're telling your friends, like, yeah, like, oh my gosh, like, I really see a future with him. Like, he's just so nice. Yeah. And I'm like, he told me about his mom. And everyone meets his mom. Everybody. And their cat, dog, wife, nurse meets his mom. Chill out. Like, do you know what I mean?
Not like, that big a deal.
There's no communication. Yeah, like, there's no communication with what no one, they're dating these guys and they're thinking because they're doing a set, like, set things that it means X, Y, Z. And actually, it doesn't mean any of that. But all we can do is just ask them. And then we can get a decision. And obviously, there's some guys out there who are just pricks, and that you'll say, like, where's this going? Or what's your intentions? And they'll gaslight you and say, like, something that they know that you want to hear. But it's better you do that and you base it on what they've actually said than you're just making pure assumptions of what they're doing. Do you get what I mean?
I think that, you know, a lot of girls growing up, we're taught that, oh, you can't ask those kind of questions because you'll come across as desperate. You know, let them take the lead. But like, what if we're both now just like flapping around, not knowing what we're doing? Because neither one of us, you know, are scared to just ask that question. Like, where is this going? And what are your intentions? Mm-hmm. Like, who cares if you come across as forward or whatever? At least you've not wasted an extra, like, however many months on this relationship that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. Like, just literally ask the questions. Ask the questions that you're scared to ask, just because peace of mind. It's A1.
So Georgette, you've got number 7, and that is, how do you talk to your partner about bringing someone else into the bedroom?
If this is something completely new that I haven't brought up before, then there probably isn't any like any good way to do it. Then like, so there's this thing that I've always wanted to try, and it involves another person, and then just kind of like get just trying to get their thinking of it. Or if you're a bit shy, maybe if like you're watching porn together and it's a threesome, being like, oh, like, would you ever do that? Would you ever consider that with me? And then just kind of approaching it that way. Or if all fails, you could say, I was listening to Just the Tip podcast and they were talking about, what do you think about it? And then, yeah, doing it that way.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. And also just get a sense for the kind of person your partner is, you know, like, are they the jealous type? Are they someone who, you know, would be into this? Are they someone who's like, no, you know, when I'm in the bedroom, it's all about one person? Like, yeah, get a feel for what they're into.
And I think also be completely honest with yourself if you can actually handle that. Because I think it can come across as quite a good idea, and you think, oh yeah, like it would be like very hot, and then think, okay, am I going to be happy watching my partner have sex with another person? Just because, like, it's not just them watching you, it's you then accepting them and then not getting jealous or feeling any kind of way as well.
I always say, like, it's different, the idea of it, it's like the idea of it versus the reality of it, and it's like two different things.
Yeah,
I think I've always really liked the idea of it, but I know when it comes to the real thing, I'll be moving side away. And you know what it is as well? It's these clubhouse rooms. I'm in these late night rooms. And I'm hearing all these Americans talk about their experiences, and I'm like, oh, this sounds great. I can do that. And I talked to my boyfriend, and he's like, Shan, you know you can't do that. Like, just chill out. Your heart won't even allow you to become like, just no, just no. And I'm just like, yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's not for me. Liv, what are your sex non-negotiables?
My sex non-negotiables. At the moment, I'm hoping this podcast doesn't come back to eat me in like, come back to kill me in like 5-10 years. But like, my rear end is only for exiting. It is okay. Not for entering. Okay, and that's just how I feel about that.
Oh god, yeah.
I just had too many horror stories. And like, girls tell me like it's not actually comfortable, like it's actually painful. And I'm like, okay, well, why would I do it then? Yeah,
that's how I feel. Try, though. It might not be painful for you. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe. Have you tried it, Rishan?
I'm just saying, you've got to try. It might not be painful for you. What is it about me? What on earth? Oh, God, blimey.
Yeah.
So mine's 17, and that's, why do you think sex can become boring in relationships? Why can it become boring? I think it becomes boring for several reasons. I think one is an obvious one, that like you're not sexually attracted to that person anymore. I think it can also be when like there's no longer, it's no longer a safe space. So you therefore don't feel like you can perform as much or like relax as much in the moment. And I think also it's when people become complacent or lazy. Do you know what I mean? So like, for example, you might think, or a guy might, anyone might be in a relationship and feel like, oh, I'm continuing to put in all this effort. I'm continuing to shut it down, doing all of this. I'm just going to chill off for a bit and let them do the work. And then them doesn't do anything. Do you get what I mean? Mm. So it's like, it's just laziness, really.
Yeah. No, I feel that. Especially with lockdown, I think it's very easy to be like, oh, why am I going to bother to like, get all done up and put on makeup and do all of this if we're just gonna get in the bed anyway, like,
yeah.
So I think, yeah, making sure to still make effort for yourself and your partner can go a long way.
And Georgia, the final one is there a difference, do you think there's a difference between intimacy and sex, and can you have one without the other?
Is there a difference between intimacy and sex?
Yeah. And can you have one without the other?
Okay, so in theory, I do think there is a difference, because I think you can be quite intimate with a person or have intimate moments that don't involve sex, but I do also class sex as an act of intimacy. So can you have one without the other? Yes, you absolutely can, most definitely. But I do think sex should be included when we talk about intimacy, because I don't think they are that different. Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah. And I think like it's another part of it. Like I could be with someone and we're just literally in the same room, not really talking, but we're still into each other, and I can personally find that very intimate.
I agree with what you're saying, because I do think the two can be the same, but I also think there's lots of forms of intimacy. It doesn't involve even physical touch at all. But do you want to talk a bit about your podcast for anyone that's listening that can find out more about you and why you decided to start a platform like that?
Yeah, so my podcast is called Just the Tip Podcast. It's a sex positive podcast. The reason that I started it is just because I felt that, it's because I really enjoy talking about sex with friends, with anyone that is open to it. I think with it being such a normal thing that most people do, there was such a taboo around women, especially Black women, having open conversations like about it. And I don't think Black women were ever allowed to be as open as what I think we are doing now. So that's why I thought, you know what, this podcast makes sense to me, and I just wanted there to be a space for people to just literally come on, have a conversation, not feel any fear of like judgment or anything whatsoever. It is very, very open, and yeah, it's available everywhere.
Amazing. So where can people find the podcast, and where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, so you can find out more about me I'm on Twitter and Instagram at @just_Georgette, both handles on both platforms. And you can also find the pod at Just The Tip Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, that's me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you.
We had a great time. And yeah, for anyone listening, please follow Georgette, support Black women talking about these things. It's so important, and we're happy to provide this space today. Please rate, subscribe, and share this episode. You can find out more about Dope Black Women. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that good stuff. So until next week, guys, stay blessed and unapologetically Black.
All the way Black.
Blackity Black.
Blacktastic.
Hey!